Every day, every week, news about the economy and the numbers it's generating moves the markets and changes people's feelings about it.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Money Life's Economy Watch starts your Monday by looking at the economic news from last week and what to watch for in the week ahead.
I feel happy! I feel happy!
Well, no matter how you feel about it, it's the economic news that has people's attention and will keep them talking about it all week.
Now, we're talking business. Let's talk business.
Talk is cheap. Perhaps a test of thy faith.
It's Money Life's Economy Watch.
Shut up and start talking.
I'll do just that, and I'm very pleased to welcome back to Money Life Doug Roberts, who is Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. He is also the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. If you want more information on him, the firm, or the book, go to channelcapitalresearch.com. And by the way, Doug is on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. We always have Doug around the show when we've got Fed news coming. So it's I'm very pleased to say this week, Doug Roberts, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks for having me back on, Chuck. Happy New Year to you.
And to you, too. And, you know, Fed news, I don't know that the Fed's going to make real news this week, but we are looking at the Fed and what it might inject into the 24-hour news stream this week, right?
Yeah, I think really the Fed is kind of what you might call the last in the trifecta. First, we had the employment numbers, then we had the ECB announcements and other central banks, and now kind of the Fed is the third in the row to really cap off either some good news or, as you said, possibly no news.
What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be new news? Are they going to say anything? I mean, they were a little bit hawkish the last time we got stuff from the Fed. So do they back away from that? Do they step up on that?
Well, although they were a bit hawkish, not by much. I mean, you know, the difference in wording was so slight, although it was somewhat more hawkish, it wasn't necessarily really that hawkish. And also the two people on the Fed board, the two known hawks, actually dissented for it not being hawkish enough. So, as I like to say, it was hawkish as expected, but not by much. And I think this time, really, what you're going to see is really not too much of a change. A lot of acknowledgments about current facts. I think what people will look for is really what's happening among the new members. What are their comments? Are there any continuing dissents on the board, or is this something that is going to be status as usual? I think if you have a continuation of basically the status quo, you know, the market will breathe a sigh of relief and then probably resume its course. But I don't think, as I've said before, that you have this continuing battle between hawks and doves, that it will be fully resolved. I think at this point they're going to keep postponing it back. And that's going to act as a slight overhang over the markets. It's not going to really weigh it down too much, largely because of the incredible quantitative easing that is now being generated by the other global central banks. But it's not going to really, unless, you know, it's clear the doves are in charge, generate liftoff or kind of like a huge rip-roaring bull market.
Well, and, you know, we talk about the fact that you wrote the book Follow the Fed to Investment Success. When you look at the setup as we've got it right now, do you think that people should be not, you know, following the foreign equivalent of the Fed and saying, hey, if that's the way the ECB is going, I want to dedicate more of my assets to that part of the world?
No, I think what you really have to look is really, I always say, watch what the Fed does, and that also occurs to the other central banks rather than what they say. What you have to realize is with a lot of these foreign central banks, the money is flowing into the U.S. market. So right now, I think, you know, the outperformance by the United States is more likely to continue. You also have a lot of geopolitical things overhanging, really, other parts of the world that the United States is somewhat more isolated from. Not totally, but somewhat more isolated. So I guess, to put it bluntly, the U.S. may be the best house in a bad neighborhood, given the problems that the world is undergoing right now. And what really depends upon is that the Fed doesn't tighten prematurely, or even if it tightens, it doesn't tighten aggressively, so that if all of a sudden they make a mistake and they misforecast something, that they can't reverse direction quite quickly.
You talk about the best house in a bad neighborhood. That makes it seem like you are expecting bad things overall for the market this year. We certainly have seen volatility. Are you thinking that we are going to see bad things? Because I guess I'm a little surprised to hear that.
I don't really think there is going to be huge bad things. I think you could have continued volatility, somewhat scary volatility. But again, things are kind of like on edge. I actually think the bull market will continue through, you know, the rest of this year as long as the Fed doesn't become too hawkish, as we've said. But at this point, there are a lot of underlying little things that can go wrong that the Fed has to be able to react to quite quickly. We saw this in 2007. In 2007, when we started to first have the subprime problem, the Fed actually switched to a more dovish position, but it did it very, very slowly, and apparently too slowly, and that allowed a lot of the problems to progress. So I think, you know, right now I'm bullish, but cognizant of the underlying risks that underline that, you know, that could disrupt this bullish scenario.
You know, we haven't talked about some of the other things that are out there, things like oil, et cetera. Is that kind of unlinked with everything else, or does that wind up having a huge effect going forward because it's so central to what everybody does with their money?
I think actually oil, you know, what you're talking about is the decrease in oil is a huge stimulant to the economy. It may not be as much so to the financial markets, unlike, let's say, a reduction in rates. But for economic news, it's kind of like more effective than a tax cut or government spending could ever be, and it's occurring quite naturally. The flip side of it is there something in the financial system that could cause dislocation that disrupts the financial system?
Well, I'm hoping that we don't see that. That would be unsettling. But as we go through the year and we're looking to see whether or not things are going to get unsettling, I'd like to turn back to you some more because you're always great when it comes to Fed news and the rest. Doug, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thanks for having me on, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Doug Roberts is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. You can get more information on the firm at channelcapitalresearch.com. You can follow Doug on Twitter. He's at Doug S. Roberts. All right, we've gotten off to a great start on the Monday, January 26th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's Josh Brown, the reformed broker. And then we're heading for trouble. David Trainer in the danger zone. We're living the money life, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment.